Yeah, this past week, we lost yet another WWE superstar. The late, great Jim the Anvil Neidhart, unfortunately passing away, after falling and, hitting his head. Apparently he was, he got up to adjust the, thermostat and he tripped and he fell and, cracked his head, passed away, as a result of it. It kind of hits home for me, guys, because I knew Jim, and he was a great guy. He could be a little standoffish if you didn't know him. And the first time I met him, I talked about wrestling, and he just didn't want to talk about pro wrestling. He was working for WCW at the time. And after about 5 or 10 minutes, we started to get along and basically hung out all night. And the one thing that has always stuck with me was he was impressed at how fast my car was, because I was able to more than just keep up with his, he was driving a BMW convertible, and I had a little jalopy Chrysler that it was a case of fill the oil and check the gas on this vehicle. But he was impressed with the pickup that the thing had. That always stuck with me. The second encounter I had with the Anvil was a live broadcast of WrestleTalk Radio when we were broadcasting during pay-per-views at Bottoms Up Sports Pub that was owned by Mark the Shark DiCarlo, a good buddy of the family here, Spencer Tapley. And Jim was in town, and I said, "Hey, you want to come on and just say hey to the people?" And he said, "Yeah, I suppose I could." He said that after talking with the Shark, and like 5 minutes later, he says, "Yeah, you know, give me a headset, and I'll say hello to everybody." He wound up being a guest co-host for the entire webcast from start to finish, and it was a really good time. Just he's sitting right beside me. We were just talking insider business, and it was so insider that anybody listening was just incapable of figuring out what we were talking about. It was really good. I found out later, and this is my Jim the Anvil Neidhart story. I found out later that Spencer, Mark the Shark, had agreed to give Jim a $100 bar tab.
I was waiting for the bar tab part of the story, because you knew that was coming.
It was $100 bar tab to, I'll do the webcast, but what's in it for me? He says, "Oh, I'll give you $100 bar tab." And all night long, I had beer given to me. And I couldn't figure out, okay, well, is Spencer just being an uncharacteristically nice guy giving me beer? Like, Spencer is of the Jewish persuasion. And Rock, you know about this, and so do I. If you're of the Jewish persuasion, you don't necessarily give people stuff for free for no reason at all whatsoever. Turns out that part of that $100 bar tab that was given to the Anvil, went to pay for my beer. And I had found out that Jim was buying people drinks in the bar all night long using his bar tab to do it.
Of course he was.
Yeah, that's just the type that's just the guy that he was, and yeah, just a great sense of humor on him. And it was a case of he wasn't talking like he was on the air or talking to people listening. He was sitting with me, watching the pay per view with me, talking with me about the pay-per-view and other things going on. And it was definitely one of the highlights of my doing WrestleTalk Radio for since 2004, actually. It's been that damn long that I've been at the helm of this creaky ship. And definitely Jim the Anvil Neidhart being on and actually being a guest co-host for the entire webcast was it just ranks right up there with one of the top moments. I've had a lot of fun doing this webcast, and I've made a lot of friends in the business, and because of this webcast I've gone on to do other things with these people that I had met either live or on the phone line. And it's like I say, it's been a great ride. And just finding out what happened with Jim this past week. I was absolutely stunned, floored. Just totally could not believe what had happened. And of course, my thoughts and my heart, my soul, with the entire Neidhart family and the Hart family throughout this entire thing. And it was just so good to see Natty at the pay-per-view tonight. And yeah. I don't know how many of you who are listening right now watched the pay-per-view and caught what Ronda Rousey said just as the camera went dark. She yelled out, "This is for Jim Neidhart."
From that and what she said on Monday night, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was for those complaining about the graphic beginning of the show and everything, what Ronda did in the middle of the ring on Monday night was special.
That was more than just throwing a graphic up with a picture of Jim with the date of his, you know, the year of his birth and the year of his passing. That meant a hell of a lot more. And of course, the video tribute package partway through the show.
Yeah.
If you are one of those who bitched and complained about how they handled it, let me tell you, from an insider standpoint, there can be no greater tribute than the way that they handled it on Monday. For anybody who has ever been in the business, either making it to the show or just doing the little independent circuit like I've done, to have somebody come out, never mind graphics or anything like that, but have somebody come out and say something on the microphone and then run that video package, that would mean more, especially to Jim, than some show opening graphic. And with that, just Jim, thank you very much for everything. Thank you for entertaining us. Thank you for befriending me and treating me the way that you did. Rest in peace, my friend.
WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G.
This is Michael Shane.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
Is there something you want to tell us?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Well, isn't that just a cat's ass?
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
I know. Difficult to hear with your head up your ass.
With your hosts, Vin Stein.
All right. All those who are getting some hands up.
The Omega.
It's funny when friends get hurt.
Heartbreak Mike.
Michael, you're so bad.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Every day, I am here with my heart on my sleeve.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
For those of us who aren't, you enjoy this moment.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Oh, it plays records and 8-tracks? This thing's like right out of the future.
Hey everybody, this is Biff Naked.
Hi, this is April Hunter.
Hi, this is Christy Annie. This is the one, the only Knockout, Tracy Brooks, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
WTR Sunday Night.
I'm starting to notice something about you.
You're still here.
Used to keep it cool, used to be a fool, all about the bounce in my step. Watch it on the news, what you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget. Used to keep it cool. Should I keep it light, stay out of the fight? No one's gonna listen to me. If I write a song, preaching what is wrong, will they let me sing on TV? Should I keep it live?
I was doing the natural reaction. I was about to hit the center thing. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. There is no TJ Omega because he would be the one talking and I would just be making snide comments. I'm Sir Rockin'. We are here to talk SummerSlam, and to do so, we have the one and only Heartbreak Mike.
What's up, guys?
Wow.
Okay, SummerSlam, there was a lot of what? WTFs? There was a lot of, so we're not going to do this. But, you know, we'll talk about that later. More of that stuff later.
And as always, leading the pack, the one and only, Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, officially, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And I talk any faster, if I slur my words a little bit more and sped it up a little bit quicker, maybe I could have. Can anybody understand what I just said?
We are streaming live on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. You can join us at twitch.tv/WTR Live. In that chat room, you come to wildtalkradio.com as well to join us there. Wild show tonight. 4, 5, 6. I don't know. Devil's fan, you can go check out the Rack Extra Reviews, NXT TakeOver, now available at wildtalkradio.com if you want to hear TakeOver thoughts. All of them there. We're here tonight talking about SummerSlam.
Yeah, and of course, SummerSlam, second biggest pay-per-view for WWE of the year. My third favorite pay-per-view, as everybody knows. WrestleMania is everybody's number one. Just by default. And of course, my second favorite's the Royal Rumble. And then, it's this one, SummerSlam. For me, SummerSlam, it's bittersweet because it kind of sort of signals to me the onset of the end of summer.
Which in Canada is?
August 21st.
There you go.
Not true. It's a stereotype.
To be fair, you had a heat wave last week or 2 weeks ago.
God, yeah, we set record temperatures here in Calgary, Dramatic Pause, Alberta, Canada. All-time record, so, you know, we got that going for us.
Then bring on the snow in 3 weeks.
It was like, last Friday, it was like, it was over 100 degrees Fahrenheit in Calgary.
Welcome to the rest of the world.
We're used to seeing 93, 95 Fahrenheit here. 100 degrees, usually we have to travel just a little bit further south for that, but. It's only 5 degrees, but you can really tell the difference between 95 and 100, especially when you live in a drier climate.
Anywhere you can, check. It always feels different. Anyway, let's get into the show. We're not here to talk about weather.
Whether or not, you're warm or cold, we had a pre-show that kicked off at 3 o'clock, the mountain time.
That was a terrible transition. Anyway.
I was working, so I missed 2 hours of the pre-show.
Okay, Rusev and Lana took on Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. The match was fine. Zelina used the ropes to get the win over Lana. Zelina, little too short to almost not get her feet on the ropes. She's tiny. She did the roll up and she's trying to put her feet on ropes and like they're too far away. She's tiny.
She's small.
Cedric Alexander took on Drew Gulak. Cedric Alexander retained the titles. The match was for a long time. The final couple minutes, pretty good. Cedric retains. The near falls of the hammer. It was fine. Enjoyable. And the Raw Tag Team titles. B-Team took on the Revival. Revival took out Axel early. Worked over Bo. A roll-up got reversed. B-Team continued to roll on as your Raw Tag Team champion.
Woohoo!
There's your pre-show in 2 minutes.
Boom. That was done. Main show kicking off, of course, with, the match that they started off with wasn't really a surprise opener, I guess. Hey?
Hold on. For that, there's a question. Intergender wrestling, yay or nay? Okay, there's your answers.
It kind of sort of depends on who the inter and the gender are. I mean, if it's somebody like China or Ronda Rousey, yeah, sure.
Jesus Christ.
Main show, Tim. Go back to it.
What happened?
Main show. Go back.
Did I miss something?
No. I'm transitioning from the question. Go back to
talking. Oh, okay. I'm just pointing out that you're not, you know, I'm not the only one guilty of bad segues. Anyway, what it was is the Intercontinental Championship match to kick off the main show. Seth Rollins challenging the champion, Dolph Ziggler.
You had the returning Dean Ambrose in Seth Rollins' corner. You had Drew McIntyre in Ziggler's corner.
Good match.
It was a great match. I'm not sure what Rollins was going for with his gear, but some people said Thanos, but.
Yeah, he was channeling Thanos.
He's not built big enough to be Thanos, though.
What I think happened was he, incorrectly packed his, suitcase with, he packed in the dark. and accidentally packed the gold left and the black right boots.
I don't know. It just, anyway, don't want to get into that. Match was really good. The final 7-8 minutes were really good.
Well, this thing was a not so slow build from beginning to end, and it escalated pretty quickly.
It really did. I love that throughout the match, you had a lot of Dean and Drew interactions, sort of like, hey, don't go after my guy. I'm just going to, if you come close, I'm going to stare you down. So we're going to probably get that match soon, and that'll be really good.
Wow.
This match was really, really fantastic, especially at the end. I'll say this about Seth Rollins. He almost killed himself a few times.
More than once.
I mean, no offense, but Seth in SummerSlam, Seth Rollins kind of, yeah, either kills himself or pretty much close to
it. Well, if you look at it, there are certain pay-per-views where guys like Seth Rollins especially, they seem to find another gear. Definitely WrestleMania is one, SummerSlam is another one. He found that gear again tonight.
That inverted superplex into, I guess, they called it a sidewalk slam. It's like, felt like a spinning reverse DDT type thing. That was insane.
Well, it depends on if you're listening to somebody who knows the moves or you're listening to Michael Cole.
Fair point.
Touché.
Drew got laid out, tried to lay out Dean and caused a two count for a zigzag. Dirty deeds to Drew McIntyre a couple minutes later. Ziggler goes for a super kick, gets caught by Rollins, who hit it first. Curb stomp, 1-2-3, and new Seth Rollins.
Yeah, the new Seth Rollins, new Intercontinental Champion Seth Rollins. Yeah, no, I dug this match. I was really, really zoomed right into it. It very entertaining from start to finish. These guys did not disappoint. And Dolph is winning me back over. As we all know, with the crap that was laid on him for the longest time until Drew came back and got called to the main roster, people were like, well, maybe he's at his peak and, you know, he's on the downturn of his career. But in the last while, he's really, like I said, winning me back again as a, you know, a fan.
Towards the end, Seth got busted open, though. Wasn't sure how he did it, but he was bleeding pretty good.
Well, he got slammed into the stairs, didn't he?
I think, yeah, maybe that was what.
That's when he got split open, because I think what happened was he actually caught the corner.
Probably.
Of the stairs.
Probably. I didn't catch it. I have to catch the replay and see exactly for sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it happened when it happened. So, ouch.
So, moving on, Bella Twins were there.
Oh, joy.
Plugging Total Bells and Total Divas.
So, and arguing with each other.
About the shameless plug, so check out the Rec Extra Reviews, Total Bells.
Because Brie wouldn't shut up and kept interrupting Nikki.
The whole season from
and it was terrible.
Is available at RecRadioShow.com.
And it was just like, what are you doing, Brie?
You can check out the Rec Extra Reviews, Total Divas, coming soon when the show starts in a few weeks at WildTalkRadio.com and RecRadioShow.com.
Are you, like, no-selling what I was doing there? I mean,
you can also check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. also now.
Apparently you are. You were supposed to be like Nikki to my Brie.
I was being Brie because she was the one plugging, and you know me. I shamelessly plug everything.
Yeah.
The Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Brie was interrupting Nikki all the time. Nikki finally said, will you shut up? Well, okay, I'm paraphrasing, but basically she said, shut the fuck up.
They should bring back the Canadian championship. Have they ever had a Canadian championship other than the one they created in WCW?
That was the Saskatchewan Hardcore International title.
Yeah.
Now take the first letter of each one of those words and spell it out.
S H I. Moving on.
The good enough.
Smackdown. SmackDown tag team titles were on the line. The Bludgeon Brothers and a New Day.
It's a new day. Yes, it is. With pancakes coming out of a cereal box.
Because reasons.
Because New Day.
I'm glad they finally let the Bludgeon Brothers actually wrestle.
They kind of sort of let it be felt like improv as opposed to scripted.
Mainly, they let Luke Harper wrestle like Luke Harper can wrestle.
And I will guarantee you there are people going, I didn't know he could do that shit.
He can.
He can.
By the way, cool. Xavier Woods.
Wow.
He was great in this one. He was great.
Did a very good job. The match itself was, I can't say it was anything ultra special. It was entertaining and enjoyable in that, you know, they took the reins off.
The one iffy spot was like the Uranagi backstabber thing on the outside. A little iffy. Woods got there, but that move is always weird how they do it, but he got it done.
And the end result is usually what matters the most.
Woods elbow on the outside. Really
ouch.
Good. Really good. Ending saw the big ending about to happen, but Rowan came in with his big large hammer for the disqualification.
Big large foam rubber hammer.
Bludgeon hammer.
So New Day win, Bludgeons retain. I guess it's the right decision to continue the feud, I suppose.
It'll keep it going for Hell in a Cell.
It's got it, yeah, because that's four weeks away. So, yeah, they have to keep things moving. And it's like, you have no other established team ready to go after the Bludgeon, so you got to keep some sort of program alive.
Mm-hmm.
Overall,
truth.
He's on SmackDown, too. Anyway, it was fine. Enjoyable.
Yeah.
Afterwards, the Bludgeons laid out the New Day with the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
What's next, Tim?
Braun Strowman squashes a bug from Maryville, Quebec, Canada that we affectionately call Kevin Owens. What, Mike? You're laughing.
So that's when I came in, when I came home. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, so what is going on with Kevin? Like, WWE, well, granted, we all knew that Strowman wasn't going to give up the briefcase, but another time, another session. But why is WWE treating Kevin like this? Like, hey, Kevin Owens, you know, at least give him something and not just be like, all right, so don't do anything.
Yeah, Mike, I gotta jump in here. You know, you get these people on social media, and I'm sure you're kind of baffled by it too a little bit. But, oh my God, Kevin Owens is getting his ass handed to him by this great big huge monster guy. He's got no offense. They must really hate Kevin Owens and think that he's ready for the scrap pile and blah, 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 blah. You're missing the point, and the entire story that's being told is not squash Kevin and kill his career. It's Braun. How much more of a monster can we make him? I don't know. Let's find out. It's not tearing Kevin down. It's building Braun up. And there's a reason for it. We'll get there at the main event.
What is Braun Strowman best at? Beating people up. Having long matches is not his strong suit.
That's not his thing.
So him coming in, destroying Kevin Owens, did not hurt Kevin Owens at all.
Okay, we got LeMans in the chat room asking, yet they had him get punked by Lesnar tonight. How does that make sense?
We'll get
like
there.
Like I said, we'll get there. Okay? Trust me, it does make sense. You might not appreciate what they did tonight. You'll appreciate it tomorrow. There's your hint. Right, Rock?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, essentially a squash match. Braun destroyed Kevin Owens.
My favorite thing about this whole Strowman-Owens feud that's been happening is Strowman running around, just running through Kevin Owens and him selling it like a champ. He flips over and everything. It's tremendous.
Oh, no, Kevin Owens is absolutely fantastic. You know, a little side note, I had to actually turn him down. He was in Calgary, and I wouldn't let him work for me when he was, still Kevin Steen right before he went to WWE, officially.
What's next?
Charlotte being a bitch of a friend. It's the SmackDown Women's Title match.
Oh, man.
Tell me I'm wrong, Mike.
No, you're not
Thank
wrong.
You. Did you like the match?
I liked the match. The match was pretty good. The match was pretty solid, you know, crap. Brain fart. Carmella played a good heel. Charlotte playing Charlotte. And our good Becky Lynch, she was doing the best that she could. Next thing you know, Charlotte Flair was like, anything you can do, I can do better. Natural selection. 1, 2, 3.
And, yeah. This was absolutely, you know, like here it is, I'm steaming at the outcome of this match, which here's the thing. If a match like this gets you all pissed and stuff like that, that's a good thing. It did what it's supposed to do.
These ladies killed it tonight.
They did. They did. They gave a reason of why they were graduates from NXT.
I said this on Thursday. This three-way was one of the best built on this entire show because they told the perfect story. They had the cocky champion and they had the two friends, you know, one and stepping in over the other, and it played the perfect story at the end.
I was about to say, it's the age-old story. The two friends are going to get not happy with each other. One's going to be exceedingly pissed off at the other one.
And Becky Lynch had the match until her best friend came
stole the show.
Hit the natural selection and stole it out from underneath her.
Now, here's the thing. It's great. It sets up one hell of an upcoming feud between Becky and Charlotte, especially after Becky snapped tonight and beat the living hell out of Charlotte.
Oh, we're going to hug. We're going to hug. And they hug and they hug. And then Becky's like, I'm done. 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 No more Charlotte in the spotlight. Nope. I'm going to just beat on you. And she whooped on her. And the best part about it, this was supposed to be supposed Becky heel turn. Charlotte was getting booed.
Becky was getting the crowd popped. The crowd was like, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Wait a minute. Charlotte won. Boo. We don't want Charlotte. Boo. Becky. 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 Becky snaps. Oh, there goes the roof. Hey, look. Where'd the roof go? They blew it off.
And then as she was beating on her, we had huge Becky chants. Huge.
Massive. And I tell you, I have to admit, it was music to my ears to hear the chants.
It was great.
It was fantastic. So she is now the SmackDown female anti-hero, as opposed to the heel. Because I'm sorry, as heel turns go, nuh-uh. It's not a heel turn if the crowd is 100% behind you.
She's not. She didn't turn it. She was frustrated that her friend stole her spotlight. It's like, it made sense. It all made sense.
You can turn on your friend and have a hell of a feud and act like the bad guy without becoming a bona fide heel.
And here's why I don't think it's a heel turn. You look at Charlotte's face when she won.
Yeah.
There's a look on her face where it's like, I got her.
I got you, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's that look. And then it quickly goes away, but you see it for a second. It's like, it's right there.
I am better than you. Ha ha.
But yeah, that whole angle, that whole thing was perfect.
It was very good. Very well done. And I know the feud is only going to build momentum from here. Hell in a Cell will not be the culmination, guys, okay? Look ahead to Evolution.
Hell in a Cell will probably be it will probably be Charlotte Carmella at Hell in a Cell. Give Carmella her rematch. You say,
and if it's not a Cell match, expect Becky coming out in the middle of it.
Right. You give Carmella her rematch. You do that on the pay-per-view so you can... Just like they did with Nia and the Ronda thing to save Ronda and Alexa for tonight.
Yep.
You save her for Evolution. You slow build it because guess what? You don't rush this in 4 weeks.
No. No matter how much people want that, because people want everything now. And they want it all the time. No. Damn it. Learn to savor waiting.
Exactly.
Or relearn in some cases.
What's next?
Next matchup is AJ taking on Joe. Oh, man, I was so dialed into this match right from the outset. Guys, I said it last week. I'm expecting a hell of a show from these guys. I think
they did
really
good. It was brutal.
I think we got a hell of a show, Mike.
We did. We got blood. We got blood.
Blood wasn't a big story of it.
I know. But it was just a great way to tell a story. Joe kept bad-mouthing, and AJ just snapped. Incredible Hulked it until his wife was like, hey, that's enough.
Before we get to there,
aww,
it starts with Joe introducing AJ's wife at ringside.
I'll be your dad. Sorry.
No, it first was... Daddy's coming home tonight. Line. Then AJ said, yeah, his family's here to see him kick his ass, kick Joe's ass. And then on a WWE pay-per-view, TNA, TNA, TNA.
damn, off the hook. This match, definitely. I just zeroed right into it.
You had everything you've gotten in the past, because you did.
Yep.
Especially one of the Impact guys, social guys, was tweeting pictures of, hey, he's here. And we get it. It happened there. It's happening here. Deal with it.
What I want to know is who's responsible for that meme, Mike?
I have not the slightest idea. All I know is that meme.
Just so you know, in the coming days and weeks, you're going to be inundated on social media with a custody of any ladder match between AJ and Samoa Joe.
Claire Lynch will be there, too.
Oh, come on. But, yeah, AJ, I think, wound up having more than enough of Joe at that right near the end of the match. I'll be your daddy.
Joe says AJ wasn't coming home because I'll be your new daddy. Yeah.
Who's your daddy?
That was, at the end, that was great. But AJ,
that was one of the best chants of the night from the crowd. What a bunch of pricks. God damn you, Brooklyn.
But yeah, they did their classic spots. They sold well. Did everything you could have won in this matchup, you got.
Oh, Lamont, no, the Muscle Buster is not banned. He did tease it, but there's a reason why he's not using it as much in WWE as he did in TNA, and it's all a sense of build-up, 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 build-up. The more you build it up, the more anticipatory the fans get, and then when it finally hits, look the fuck out.
Now, I want to... Go ahead.
He has used it recently. As a matter of fact, just a few weeks ago on SmackDown. You'll see it, but they're trying to make it be one of those big deal things.
The Kokita Clutch is his finish.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of finishers and moves that don't always get pulled out, Tim, the Styles Clash.
Oh, did that look frickin' sloppy? But I get that he only hooked one arm with his left leg, but I think in that situation they were selling the knee injury for AJ. Mm-hmm. And that's all fine and dandy. Joe knows how to take the move because he's taken it how many times in fucking TNA, right? Problem is, watching it, sloppy as a son of a bitch, Joe almost didn't get his head back in time. AJ has seriously, severely hurt opponents with this move because the opponents are not taking it properly. Once you're locked in upside down, it's up to you to push, throw your head back, not forward. So you're practically landing on your chin instead of having your neck snap because you landed on your forehead because you tucked when you should have untucked. But I'm apparently not the only one who thought that was a very, very, very sloppy delivery of the clash. It could have been very bad. It's almost like Joe forgot to throw his head back until the very last second. But at the same time, because he didn't have his left arm, I guess it wasn't hooked, he also rolled over a little bit at the same time. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he rolled to, I'm trying to figure it out. You're upside down. He rolled to his right. And I think that's because of only having the one arm hooked. But as a result, it wound up being a very, very sloppy completion to the move. And for some people who know this, that was a lot more dangerous than the casual fan is going to realize. So, ouch. That's all I can say about it.
So Samoa Joe wins, AJ retains, they're headed to the cell.
Oh, hell yeah.
Whether they're in the cell or not, they're headed to the cell for every match.
Oh, that's going to be really good.
Well, Joe only won because it was a DQ.
Because AJ snapped and, yeah.
Kicked the living fuck out of Joe with the folded up steel chair.
Kicked him with the folded up steel chair.
Uh-huh.
Analysis you only get on WTR Sunday night.
He didn't literally kick him with the chair. He kicked his ass with the chair.
There you go.
You know what I mean. Pay attention to what I mean and not what I say. Swing the fuck up.
So Elias sung. Attempted to sing.
That was funny. The entire thing's a setup. I don't think the crowd realized it at first, but then they got the joke because you fucked up, Chance. As soon as he broke his guitar.
Did you notice he dropped a line in there?
He dropped a what?
A line in the before he started singing or attempted to sing.
No, I kind of, I missed that one, that part. What was the line he dropped?
Move your roll.
There you go.
And shut your mouths.
Wonder why he would have said that.
Hmm.
Foreshadowing. Hmm. He said breaking the fourth wall like Deadpool. Just saying. Pay attention. Coming soon to a theater near you. I mean, a wrestling ring near you. Let's face it, Skyscraper sucked.
Do you smell it? Anyway.
It smells like burning horse shit. Anyway. Moving on.
Moving on.
What happened next?
Daniel Bryan versus The Miz.
This is correct. Another match I've been looking forward to. And, yeah, this thing was, not such the, I'm gonna kick your ass physical beatdown as it was one hell of a storytelling. It was great.
My favorite moment happened really early. So Miz is going for the kicks, right? He has a few of them. He has a few of them. And then Bryan reaches out with his left hand and grabs Miz by the throat and just punches Miz in the face.
Well, that's Miz's, doing the, diagonal corner, corner post run.
Yeah.
Stealing, you know, Daniel's dropkick move. Mm-hmm. Daniel stands up, just puts his hands up, stops him dead in his track with that, with that chokehold. And I was like, all right. That's
great.
The equivalent of somebody throwing a punch at you and you grabbing their fist.
Mm-hmm. It's like the whole point of it for months, for years, it's I'm going to punch you in the face. And he punched him in the face. It's great. This matchup was fun and entertaining. Miz held his own again with Bryan. This was just, good near falls.
Oh, it was great. They made each other look great. They really worked at making each other look good. You can tell that these guys are friends.
If
you know what to watch when they're being antagonistic towards each other, you can tell they've got that friendship chemistry.
They know how to work each other.
Yep.
They get the best out of each other. And you had it here. You had multiple reversals and submission attempts. Everything you want.
Well, here's the thing. There's nothing better than one-upmanship between two guys or gals who really are good friends behind the scenes and away from their characters. It doesn't matter if you like each other or you don't like each other. You still want to outdo. But when you're good friends, there's nothing better than anything you can do I can do better.
But the ending of this matchup left people wondering.
And I had no problems with the way it finished. Thanks, Maurice.
So, it all builds up, you know, Monroe Sky's in the stroller with Maurice sitting at ringside, and you see them coming over, and Bryan hits the flying knee, and it sends Miz closer to them, and Maurice pulls something out, hands it to Miz, and Bryan's ready to come back through the ropes, and bam.
Left-handedly.
Punch to the face. And Miz stumbles back to his wife and hands her the knuckles, and she puts them in her bra. And down goes Daniel Bryan for the 1-2-3.
I can't wait till Tuesday now.
the whole thing was Bryan wanted to punch Miz in the face.
Mm-hmm.
But the ending was Miz punching Bryan in the face.
With brass knuckles.
It was perfect.
Fantastic. And yeah, what is this feud? Is like a 10-year?
Eight.
You know, might as well be 10 years. It's an 8-year feud that finally culminated in a match. Are you kidding me? Daniel Bryan winning this match? The first, you know, the first real wrestling match that these two have had one-on-one? You're going to have a one-off blow-off match? To put that entire 8 years to bed? No. I don't think so. Hell no. I can't wait until Tuesday Night SmackDown.
And you know.
Which means I can't wait, from there, the build up leading into Hell in a Cell.
And you know, Miz isn't going to give him the match.
Nope.
Oh, he's gonna duck and run.
Which he should.
Because he's gonna play up the coward.
Which he should. Cause to him, he has nothing left else to prove. He proved it tonight. He beat Daniel Bryan. Simple. It tells the perfect story. And there's a lot of matches tonight where you can just say it told the perfect story.
It was great. And so, yeah, I'm dialed into this feud too now. Thanks to tonight. I mean, like for 8 years, it's like you guys are going back and forth. Just, you know,
they fought a little bit, but it's like now they're big stars in a big moment on a big stage. They delivered.
They did. And thanks for that.
Devil's Hand goes, the last match of Miz Bryan will be at Mania when the next one is either Survivor Series or Rumble.
This is gonna stretch out a couple of months, which is,
they can get this to Survivor Series.
Yep.
You can't get this to Mania. You gotta move on in a different direction. Should this have been a WrestleMania match? Yes. That's not the question. They're here.
Well, here's the thing. The other thing you gotta keep in mind, Daniel hasn't re-signed yet. But if you're a reader of the Dirt Sheets, you will have read this. Daniel has his own lawyer now. And he's actually said, well, I'm like the Miz. I got my own lawyer. That's why it's taking so long to sign.
He's signed. I mean, you look at everything that's going on. He is signed.
Oh, fuck yeah. No, he's not going to not re-sign. Come on.
Right. It's right now what they're doing is they're dotting the I's, crossing T's. It's like, what the big holdup is for why he hasn't signed, he's negotiating his days off. That's what they're doing. They're working out his schedule.
Because you got to remember, he's a daddy.
Yeah, he's a newborn dad. So.
That's what they're figuring out. And he's probably signed this weekend. Because everything that was coming out was like 2 weeks from interviews he did a week and a half ago. So it's like, you know, it's fine. What's next, Tim?
I don't know. Do we have another squash match on the card?
Constable Baron Corbin versus...
I bet you the demon comes out. What do you mean you don't want to see the demon come out? Shut up. We haven't seen him since last October. I'm okay with it.
Versus the demon Finn Balor.
Has it been since last October?
It was last October was the last time that we saw the demon.
It was supposed to be. The last time we were supposed to see the demon, the demon Finn Balor versus Sister Abigail. But the mumps, measles, whatever... played a factor, and it was Demon Finn Balor versus AJ Styles. No complaints.
It was a case of Bray Wyatt had something that needed a couple shots of penicillin to clear up.
Bunch of them did. Someone got around. including Roman Reigns. But
it was called the Page Disease. Oh, well, I'm sorry, Omega's not here. I had to.
Anyway.
Moving on.
While the visual was cool and the squash was cool, like the new 3D graphics and everything they did tonight was awesome throughout the show.
Yep.
You didn't need the demon on this show.
You know what? This is where you and I had that little good-natured argument on Skype during it. I'm okay with it. It's fine. You stop and you think about it. Corbin has been doing nothing but giving Balor grief this entire time. It's, you know, okay, enough of this bullshit. I'm going to put you in your place, you dumb fuck. Here comes the demon. The demon squashes people.
If they told the story better on television, it would have made more sense.
We're not going to see the demon again before WrestleMania.
No, and we nor should we. They just didn't tell the right story on television to
Maybe they didn't like foreshadow it properly, right?
Yeah, I mean
they could have like given people hints.
They could have. It just if you think about it, they pushed him to his limits. A little thing, whatever. It felt. Like, because they were treating the feud as a throwaway, something going on in the background. So it's like, when I want to see the demon, I want to see it have importance. And maybe they will give the significance of the demon tomorrow.
Yeah, you see, this is where I'm disagreeing with you on the whole thing. It's, this whole buildup. Yeah, they didn't do enough, allusion. You know, they weren't alluding to the possibility of the demon showing up at all during this entire back and forth on Monday Night Raw with these two guys. But having Baron be the asshole that he's been towards Finn, and like that's my point. The demon came out because Finn Balor's all fed up with the bullshit, and that's all there is to it. This is it.
To me, I just wanted it to be treated like a bigger deal. That's all.
Uh-huh. No, I understand. You wanted to have that aura and that mystique to it, like the Undertaker's undefeated streak, that type of idea. I get it.
Because we don't have a lot of that. Everything is so even, and it's like, you want something special. That's all.
I see where you're coming from. I'm just saying, like, in the situation, I'm good. What about you, Mike?
I'm, you know what? I'm good. I'm good in that.
So, Finn Balor won. No shocker.
Now, my thing, okay. You were talking about the graphics and stuff, and I actually can honestly say that I like those graphics just for Evil Finn with the red dark cloud and everything else. That was pretty good. I will say that. With the entrance redid and everything else, that by far was a good entrance.
Enjoyable.
Did you know that WWE is going to be airing some content in virtual reality? I wonder why they were doing 3D graphics and such.
Because they're testing virtual reality shit?
There you go.
I'm just guessing.
Just guessing. Just a little guess. So we had a moment backstage. Priest talking with Daniel Bryan. And he's upset and pissed off. He's throwing ice around and losing proved Miz right, and he didn't come back for this. And basically, Bree was told to go. You can go enjoy the show. I'm just going to punch some walls.
There you go.
It's good. Little subtle things. It's working.
Yeah.
The feud's continuing. Now, just throwing this out there, Brie Bella versus Maryse. Or Brian and Brie versus Maryse and Miz. Just...
That's exactly where my thought process was going, was a mixed tag. The only thing is, how freshly newborn is that baby?
Week and a half before WrestleMania.
Okay. Maryse didn't look to be tonight in any kind of ring shape.
No, she's far away from it. She had a...
That's going to take some time.
She had a C-section and everything. It's going to take some time. Just down the line. Could be. If she wants to. She's not the healthiest person with her back and everything. It's one of the reasons why she had to have the baby the way she did. But again, check out the record. She used Miz and Miss now available at WildTalkRadio.com. So, we'll see. But it's just something that could... Maybe not a match. Maybe it's not even a match. Just some interactions.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
So, yeah. Oh, man. I don't like Jeff Hardy painting his face the way he does.
No?
I'm not a big fan.
Not a big fan?
Not a big fan. Shinsuke Nakamura, on the other hand, has a pretty cool mouth guard.
This match was okay.
You know what? It felt like another SmackDown match. This was, to me, the weakest match of the night.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a bad match by any means.
It just was in a point of the show we've seen so much. This was a cool down match.
Yep. And of course, naturally, Shinsuke retained. But what the hell's up with the Randy Orton appearance?
The Creeper?
Yeah.
I hope not.
Last week on SmackDown, he was just peeking through curtains. Now he's just walking to the ring and walking back.
I mean, I don't know about the United States, but in Canada, people are getting arrested for acting like that. It's like voyeurism.
GTV return? No.
No, let's hope not.
So yeah, Shinsuke returns and Jeff hit a swanton on the side of the ring because Jeff is stupid.
Kind of crazy. Dumb that way. I mean, somebody should tell him he's 40 years old.
Why are they selling Jeff Hardy's TNA shirt? They're not selling Jeff Hardy's TNA shirt. It's Jeff Hardy's artwork. There's your answer.
People don't realize he's an artist.
Yep.
He's an artist, people.
It's his copyrighted material.
It's like Lita had a grunge band.
Jeff has a band. Jeff has an album, too.
Right? Yeah, he's got that as well. But he's also an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Oh, man. I don't know if Ronda Rousey should win the title tonight or if they should wait a month.
Well, the decision was made for you.
It was, wasn't it? And she's gotten really good at trash-talking her opponent in that wrestling ring in very short order, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Everything about this was perfect and amazing.
It was great, and the looks that Alexa was offering up.
All right, before we get to that, we got to address something that happened first.
All right.
So the match is about before the match starts and all the introductions. Natalya shows up wearing her father's jacket from SummerSlam 1990. I mean, it was a nice surprise. Perfect. Because like 10 minutes before that, you went, have you heard anything about Natalya?
Yeah. Is she going to be there? Have you heard? I hope she shows up.
I haven't heard anything because, everyone's in town, so you don't really know, and everything that just happened, you just don't know.
Yeah.
But she was there. Bella's wearing ringside. But, yeah, going to the match. Alexa plays the part of the heel so well.
Oh, yeah.
Her
she played it beautifully.
Her playing possum for the first few minutes.
Just being a slimy bitch for the first... couple of moments of the match.
You want to know why she's so good? Just watch this. It's not about wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's about the psychology of it.
It's character, and that was when she played it really good.
She's great at what she does.
Well, here it is. You know, it's the subtleties of things that the wrestlers do that you don't realize. But if it's not there, you're like, huh? What? Something's missing, and you don't realize what it is. If you pay attention to all of the, you know, like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, all of these movies coming out, and you've got all of this back and forth between the characters, just and all of this is just like you can quibbly friend stuff. And it's like, what's his name? Rocket and Thor decide they're going to bugger off in the ship and go to nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. Or to wherever, not nowhere, but the other place. And Rocket says, is it weird that I want to go even more knowing that? Yeah, it is, kind of, just a little bit. You know, it's stuff like, you know, it's that type of subtlety that just makes it more enjoyable. The banter is what it is. Now, what Alexa's doing and what people like, people, you know, like wrestlers doing similar things to what Alexa is doing is the physical version of the banter that makes it that much more realistic, believable, enjoyable, entertaining, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what Alexa is so fucking good at. Who trained this girl?
Whoever did deserves a raise. Now,
because more people should go to her trainer.
So. As Alexa's playing possum, Rhonda's getting annoyed. She just wants to, you know, she hit the one punch and she goes down and she rolls to the outside. And then Rhonda's like, come on, get back in the ring. Come get back in the ring. I want to beat you. I want to take your title. Like, come on.
I'll turn my back to you.
So she turns her back.
Look, I'll close my eyes.
Sits on the mat, then closes her eyes.
I'll even cover my eyes.
Alexa gets in the ring then and puts on this headlock.
Chokehold. Reverse naked
whatever.
Choke.
And she's like, all right. Cool.
Are you ready?
All right. Like, hey, cool. Is it on? Is there someone on me? Is there something on me right now? Like, is there any? No. So Rhonda just gets up, puts her on her shoulders, more trash talks. You ready for a new champ or something like that?
And yeah. No. She's talking to Alexa. She's like, okay, are you ready? Alexa's like, yeah, okay. And then before you know it, boom, okay, you're out, bang.
And then.
It's like, are you ready for me to kick your ass again? Are you ready for me to stomp you down? Okay, I'm going to hurt you. Are you ready?
Then after that, Alexa rolled out, and Rhonda chases her around.
No.
So Alexa gets in first, Rhonda gets in, you know, that whole spot, and then she kicks her, and then she punches her. And it's like, did you just seriously punch me?
You didn't just do that, did you?
It's like, you didn't just do that. Alexa's like, oh, crap.
This is going to make very little sense to a lot of people, but it just reminded me of something I saw one time. Neighborhood cat walking around owned the block, okay? This cat was a bully. It would beat the fuck out of every dog and cat on that block. And this family moves in with this great big, huge, gigantic, beautiful, I can't remember the breed of the dog. It was like a golden retriever or something equally large. And the cat, asserting itself and claiming its territory, walked up to this dog, absolutely no fear, reached up, claws extended, and swats the dog in the face. The dog, its head goes with the flap, comes back, looks at the cat, and tilts its head. Like, really? Did you just do that? Are you kidding me? That's the reaction I had.
So she's just now throwing her around with the judo throws. And then because of Alexa's arm, where she's double jointed in the elbow, her twisting that arm was so perfect.
Oh my gosh.
It looks so good. And the way that they sold it on the announce table, I'm thinking, you guys, did you forget she's double jointed? Because you didn't forget a couple of months ago.
No. And which is why I was mad they pulled that spot a couple months ago. It's like, you should save it for this. It's perfect. And then she locks in the arm bar. She quickly taps out. They did nothing wrong with this. This was perfect. Alexa played her part well. Rhonda was awesome. And she's only getting better.
Yep.
She then screams out, that's for you, Roddy. That was perfect.
And she also hollered out, that's for you, Jim. She said that as well, right afterwards.
Yeah, she said that as they were walking up. This was right after when she first
hit the bell. Yeah, no, she said that right after, that's for you, Roddy.
Okay.
Roddy, because okay. right when she said that, they went to the recap. So I'm watching, and you could just make out that this is for you, Jim.
Okay. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, part. I know they said it. She said it again at the top of the ramp, but she also said it right after, this is for you, Roddy.
Natty comes in to celebrate. The twins come in to celebrate. Her.
The booze.
The booze when the Bellas come
Bella
in.
The Bella booze.
Which is fine.
Now, here's the thing. I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, and maybe it was really, really subtle, but Natty came in. She's all full of love and happiness and joy for Rhonda with the great big huge hugs and grins and kisses on the cheeks. The Bellas come in, and then Natty, to me, has that fake grin on her face when the Bellas are there hugging Rhonda and sharing the Rhonda's spotlight. It's like all of a sudden it's like genuine into fake and then back to genuine again when the Bellas are out of the picture. Am I reading too much into this or is no. there something going on between these three?
I think you're reading a little too much into it because they're all really good friends. Here's the thing that people are going to have to take away from this.
Mm.
That's the setup for Evolution. Call me crazy, but we have a main event set getting set up. And
how long ago was it, Rock, where you and I proclaimed to everybody that the big match of the year, the big women's Raw match of the year, will be Natty versus Rhonda?
I wasn't saying it was going to be Rhonda versus Natty. That wasn't my match.
No, I know. And I know what your match was. It was the other one.
No, but that would be a big match, and that's eventually going to come, but that's not your Evolution match.
Well, no, that's not to WrestleMania, so don't get drooling. You're talking about the tag match.
I wasn't even talking about a tag match.
No?
No.
Okay.
I'm talking about a singles match.
Okay.
Rhonda and Nikki.
There you go.
They're colliding. This was your reintroduction of the Bella Twins, probably, into your televisions for the foreseeable future.
Because they is going to start wrestling again.
Evolution. It's a big deal.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, so far, this entire pay-per-view has been solid. I've enjoyed everything that I've seen, even the week match. Yeah. I was not disappointed. And then the main event.
Oh, my God, the main event. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Universal Championship. So, I know what the objective was with some of the camera shots in Roman's entrance.
Mm-hmm.
But did we really need to focus in on the guy who made the Roman hand gesture sign? If you think about what he's doing in the sign thing, you need the Roman jerks off sign. It's just
a little inappropriate.
I know that's not what it's meant, but anyway.
That's what Rock picked up on it because he's a sexual deviant and a pervert.
They muted the crowd for Roman.
You know, the boost came through, and then I didn't notice the muting. I was a little bit preoccupied.
The boost happened, and then everything was quiet. I don't know what happened.
No, but it was quiet, and there were still boos for when Brock Lesnar came out, too.
Yeah.
The defending,
and then Braun shows up.
I'm not one of those cowards. You know the history of this briefcase. I'm telling you that I... taking on whoever's going to win this match.
I'm going to do things face to face because the winner of this match is getting these hands.
There you go.
So he's standing there watching as Roman Reigns just goes off with Superman punches and spears. Except the third one didn't quite connect like he thought it would.
Yeah.
The guillotine choke got locked in, foreshadowed from Monday Night Raw. And we got the choke again. We had some Roman sex chants.
Yep.
It was what it was. We had the gloves come off, suplex city, you know the deal. Roman goes for a dive, Brock moves, and Roman hits Braun. And then Brock Lesnar goes and attacks Braun Strowman, hits him with the F5, whacks him with his briefcase over and over again, and then chucks his briefcase up the stage, beats on him with the chair. Brock still has the chair, comes back in the ring, spear! 1, 2, 3...
Your winner and new WWE Champion.
Universal Champion.
Universal Champion, thank you. Woman wanes. Woman boo. Woman boo. 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 Woman boo.
It had to happen. The result had to happen. Because if it didn't, we'd be stuck in the same loop again.
True. But wait a minute, why did they make Braun look like a little bitch with that beat down at the side? There was going to be no cash-in tonight, kids. They teased it. They teased it on purpose. Okay? Now, how did it make sense to beat the shit out of Braun Strowman, Rock?
What was that?
Or, well, you know, to knock him down and keep him down and keep him from being able to cash in.
Because you need to give Roman his moment.
Even if that moment lasts a grand total of 24 hours.
If not longer, you had to give him this moment. Because if you didn't, we'd be stuck in the loop of Roman Reigns chasing the belt for months and months and months. And that's the problem we're in. I've been thinking for all along, Braun's cashing in tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure about that.
Well, that thinking may have changed a little bit now. The thing about it is, what happens with Brock?
Brock's?
Are we going to get a rematch at Hell in a Cell? God, no, please, no.
No, Brock's done after tomorrow night, if he's even there tomorrow night, even though he's promoted to be there. Brock's done.
He's going to be concentrating on going back to UFC and winning the title, and then he'll come back to WWE as a UFC champion.
Brock's done for now. Brock will be back at some point. It's just not now. You had the rematches. Brock doesn't need a rematch. You don't need to go back down that road.
Yeah. It's like he's on that Chris Jericho schedule.
If you think about it, do we ever see a Universal Champion actually get the rematch?
Nope.
Very rarely.
Did Finn get his rematch?
Nope.
Did Goldberg get his
rematch? Seth Rollins? Nope. Goldberg, different story.
Seth Rollins was never a Universal Champion.
Hmm?
Seth Rollins was never a Universal Champion.
Oh, no, he was WWE Champion.
He was WWE Champion. Yep. Goldberg never got his. Kevin Owens never got his. Why does Brock need to get his? Just pointing that out.
So, yeah. Overall, very entertaining pay-per-view. I have nothing bad to say about this show tonight at all.
I know there's people out there, and it's the internet, and everyone's going to say, hey, TakeOver was a better show. Yes. TakeOver.
Okay, no, don't compare apples to pomegranates, okay? Yes, NXT is WWE. Yes, I get it. Okay, it's the same company. It's not the same product.
Here's my point. TakeOver was fantastic.
Yes, it was. This show was fantastic.
This show tonight was on par with the show from Saturday night. They were both two entertaining shows that went the exact same way they should. SummerSlam. Usually some WWE pay-per-views, when they come after the TakeOvers, like, they don't live up to the WWE shows are sort of slightly below whatever. They let these guys work, and I think a lot of the guys in the back was like, let us go. Let us do our thing. You have Seth Rollins doing his thing. You had AJ and Joe doing their thing. He's like, Daniel Bryan doing his thing. They all got to do their thing.
You got the agents backing off a little bit and saying, okay, be a little bit more footloose and fancy free, guys, go for it.
And it's like, you just gotta let them stop trying to slow them down. Let them do them, and you get good shows like this. SummerSlam was a fantastic overall show. Were there weak points? Yeah. Every show has a weak point. But like,
shit, Avengers Infinity War had weak points.
Sounds like they did their job tonight, and that's all you can ask for.
You have absolutely no idea of how to respond when I throw in a movie reference, do you?
I haven't seen the movie, so I don't.
Okay.
I can't comment on the movie I haven't seen.
I watched it on demand the other day, so.
So once I see the movie, then I can make the comeback. I haven't seen the movie.
Fair enough. Normally we do pick'em results at this point in time, everybody. However, we can't give you what hasn't been forwarded to us to let you know what it is. In other words, somebody's slacking and is going to have to work overtime tomorrow to get the results. We will wind up posting them on social media for you.
Or you can tune in at The Rock Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Well, break them down.
Yeah, but let's post it on social media, too.
Maybe. We'll see.
So once we get the results, because I'll get them as well as you get them, I'll throw them on my my Twitter account, which is @FlamesForums, and we'll get them on Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadio. Network, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Speaking of which, check out the Russell Talk Radio as well on the Twitter @WTRSundayNight or Facebook, Facebook.com/WTRSundayNight. Tomorrow night, you're going to be doing a show immediately following Raw, aren't you?
It's called the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah. And then I'm not plugging the rec because you haven't shut up about it all night long.
Check
with
out
your host, Lindsay Ward, Thursday nights at 10 o'clock.
Check out the rec. Extra reviews, Ms. and Mrs. will be available Tuesday around 10:30 once the show ends on USA Network. We'll have the review up at RockRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com. But we'll have our SummerSlam review live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can check out our review of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4. It's available now at WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com. It's RockRadioShow on all your favorite social media platforms.
Yeah, and of course, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as we can get to it, it's the another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Unusual, the Group of American Idiots, CB Radio.
Last night we did 128 of the greatest knock-knock jokes.
Which one won?
I'll have to look it up and tell you.
Okay.
And, because it's
prepared.
It's been a minute. This week I think we're supposedly going to do Little People. That's the politically correct term for midgets.
Yeah, little people. I hate that. It's a bullshit term. Anyway, next Sunday night, if anything happens this week for us to talk about, we'll be back at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern with another edition of WTR Sunday Night. If nothing happens, there's nothing to talk about. We're not going to come on the air and not talk about nothing.
For those keeping up with WTR Fantasy, and these two should pay attention to this comment, you have until 8 p.m. Eastern to, if you would like to drop a superstar from your roster, you have until 8 p.m. to swap them out. You lose all the points that you may have acquired, you need to swap out one member of your team. Two swaps have happened already on the social medias.
Ugh. Well, I want to know what my points were for the entire week, including tonight.
I'll let you know in a little bit. But make sure you keep up to that. It's at twitter.com/wildtalkradio.
There you go. Yeah, he wasn't, he was under the weather and so didn't appear on the program tonight, but you can follow Omega everywhere at TJ Omega, except Facebook, which is, TJ Reviews.
Check out all his, MetroCon content. It's all available at youtube.com/TJ Omega. If you want to see more of the things that YouTube don't have, that's tjomega.net. He's also on Instagram and the Tumblr and all that fun stuff. I think he's the plastic addict on the Instagrams. I don't know.
He is the plastic addict, that's for sure.
I believe that's his Twitter, or Instagram rather. But it's tjomega on most social media platforms.
Yeah. Hey, Omega, feel better soon. I've already plugged my platforms. I've got one more to go on the Twitters. Uncensored, and I don't pull any punches, and I'm not politically correct. As a matter of fact, my handle is politically incorrect. You can find me at Voicing Sanity on the Twitter machine is my other thing. I'm done with my plugin for myself. Mike?
Yes.
Get on social media and then tell people about it.
So we're going to look on the Twitter page, the WTR Oreo. I actually am about to send these memes, these SummerSlam memes. I do not know who created them, but hey, they are hilarious.
Hilarious!
They're quite hilarious. Hit me up. You can also look at me on the Facebook. I'm doing a thing. Dragon on Wrestling on Facebook. This week we are doing some more wrestling, WWE of course. Our season finale is coming soon, and we will be doing some preparations. So there's probably an open casting call. So they'll get to you. I'll let you guys know about that later date.
Make sure you follow and subscribe at twitch.tv/WTRLive so you will go live with any of our podcasts or some video game content, including Fortnite.
There you go. We're done for tonight. I hope you enjoyed SummerSlam as much as we did. That said, we might just talk to you next Sunday night. Until then, have yourselves a great week, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.